Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
The Advertising Show, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. Visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Today we have a very special guest, and we welcome him back often to the show because he is such a great guest. Alex Ben Block, senior columnist for Hollywood Today, also editor-at-large of The Hollywood Reporter. And we just get caught up on everything here. Gossip, truth, fact. Fiction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What else? A lot of good stuff. We'll
scripted,
have Alex on.
Unscripted.
Yeah, unscripted mostly. That's what this is all about. We've got Shamin Abbas joining us shortly, our activist for excellence. Why aren't you on Twitter? Why?
Is that a question?
Yes, it is. That's the name of her feature.
I'm twitting right now.
Are you twitting?
Mm-hmm.
I can hear that, yeah.
It's Boy, it's hot in here. I'm twitting.
You can't twit. You're fired. Gene Bliss is the customer experience and... Boy, those New Year's Eve resolutions, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Customer peace of mind is what we're talking about
today. I'll give you
a
peace of my mind.
So, Alex and Shamin and Gene and Mean Joe Green and Mr. Green Jeans, too, as well.
And Dr. Green. You know, yeah. A lot of people don't realize, but Marriott International, Ray, mm-hmm. is claiming guest demand for newspapers, this is going to be surprising, mm-hmm. has dropped about 25%.
Really?
At their 2,500 U.S. hotels. So they announced recently that they're going to discontinue automatic newspaper delivery to guests, shifting to a system based on consumer preference.
That's a mistake.
Well, I think so. But on the other hand, you know, it says something about the newspaper industry, which we're going to address with the guest right. on into the future. But guests will be asked for their preference at check-in, choose between USA Today, the Wall Street Journal, or the local paper, or no paper.
Oh.
The company adds that more than 25 years ago, through a pioneering partnership with Gannett and USA Today, Marriott was the first hotel to feature broad newspaper delivery to its hotel rooms in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Maybe they're being a little green, and they're saying we need to be more economic about this and not just be putting a paper there when maybe people don't want it. And then
well, I think that's a good idea.
Well, I do think it is as well. I think it also is a reflection on the fact that, you know, people just aren't reading the newspapers as much as they used to. And they don't have the time or inclination or whatever the case may be, so they're being more proactive about it and not just putting it out there.
And if they were even more savvy, they would know what preferences people had before they checked into the hotel
maybe,
and have it ready for them.
You know, it's fun. I didn't read this part, and I deleted it from this information that I just read, but it did mention that if you're a part of their premier program or whatever you call that, frequent flyer program, that they would know that. They are asking that of new guests that come. So you're right.
I see.
They already do that.
And I like the fact, you know, I hate newspapers getting thrown on my front lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get these things out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't request them.
Well, they see that birdcage through the window, and they're thinking you could use
the paper. We recycle paper bags for that. And we don't even use that angers me. You know, again, some of these newspapers that claim circulation in the millions when
your bird is reading it.
Circulated it a million times, something like that.
One paper.
So, yeah, it makes not a lot of sense. But I do applaud them for being more specific. And what people want? Why not?
Yeah.
You know, why not leave them an iPod with a download of your favorite podcast?
Because then nobody would leave it in the room; they'd take it.
It's a gift.
Oh, I
see. With purchase.
Well, I'll make mine the iPod Touch then, not just your.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Make it an iPhone instead. I'd like one
of those.
That's
true.
Thank you very much. And with that said, all of the new media—that's exactly what Shamin Abbas is talking about today on the Advertising Show.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, Publicity, and Crisis Management Instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
I sometimes feel like an unofficial spokesperson for social media with these commentaries, but it bears repeating. All companies simply must get up to speed on Twitter. At the absolute minimum, you and your team must monitor the site for your brands and the issues affecting them, especially if your client is a consumer-focused brand or in public affairs. Here's an example you may have heard of, but not your clients. In early November, Johnson & Johnson's Motrin ad caused a major Twitter furor, as well as across the blogosphere. Without rehashing the details of the ad's message, conversations raced back and forth between mums who found the ads condescending and the marketers trying to stem the tide of outraged postings. When a tweet takes only 140 characters, imagine how quickly the news spread between not just consumers, but the media influencers, reporters monitoring Twitter. It has been said that many of us use Twitter now as their 24/7 newspaper, a sort of caffeinated RSS feed. J&J was monitoring the conversation about its brand and realized it needed to pull the offending ad from the company's website and replaced it with an apology. Talk about being heard. PR is about building relationships, and Twitter offers some great benefits in that category. It provides immediate and honest feedback on the brand. It reaches influencers with viral speed and keeps abreast of trends and news. It also serves as a way to quickly respond to a customer who now thinks that email is a bit too slow. It's only going to go faster, so it's time to jump on the Twitter bullet train.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
The Advertising Show, Ray Schillen's Brad Forsyth. Thank you, Shamin Abbas. About to welcome Alex Ben Block to the show here momentarily. Okay, recently Domino's Pizza was in the news. They had a couple of guys, guy and a girl, did a YouTube video. Have you... Okay.
Nope.
Basically what they did, it's a Pierre nightmare scenario. A national fast food chain has to respond to a video spreading rapidly online that shows one of its employees picking his nose and placing the result in the food he's making.
Oh.
That's exactly what Domino's, the nation's largest pizza delivery chain, has spent the past several days trying to do.
Right.
Damage control.
Right.
How timely with, you know, Shamin here as far as the public relations stuff goes. Mm-hmm. And they did a pretty good job.
Have they?
Basically, for Domino's, the response wasn't easy. The video reflects some of the worst fears consumers have about food purchased from restaurants. The video and discussion has moved to Facebook, Twitter, and dozens of other social networking sites. But Domino's is getting fairly high marks from social networking and crisis management gurus about its response. Says nothing is local anymore, Domino's spokesperson Tim McIntyre says. That's the challenge of the web world, and any two idiots with a video camera and a dumb idea can damage the reputation of a 50-year-old brand.
Well, if you're old enough to remember, Saturday Night Live did a spoof on Burger King, and that was when their campaign was Have It Your Way, and they had all the people dressed up behind the counter, and the lady walks up, and she goes... And they said, hey, hi, may I help you? And they were singing behind, you know, have it your way, have it your way. She goes, yes, would you blow your nose on my cheeseburger, please?
I remember that.
Yeah, it's hard to get out of your mind. And you just reminded me of that when you said that about picking the nose
on
the pizza.
Yeah. Here we go.
Now, of course, that was a spoof then. Now there, you can't get away from it.
No, it's terrible. Yeah. And with that said, hopefully you're not eating anything right now, especially pizza. It's Ray Schillen's and Brad Forsyth back in just a minute with more on The Advertising Show.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Stronger than dirt.
It's The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth. Always a bright spot in the show here as well as we bring Alex Ben Block into the Advertising Show. Not the green room. This would be the red room, I guess. Is that anyway, Alex, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, I understand, Alex. SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, and producers and studios finally got together to iron out a deal. What can you tell us about it?
Well, after about 2 years or more of labor turmoil in Hollywood, finally, the big deal has been made, and it's only a tentative agreement, but it's pretty much a sure thing. The Screen Actors Guild has reached agreement with the producers who represent the big entertainment conglomerates and studios. We don't know yet on all the details, but we know quite a bit about it. And this has been a long, wrenching process. The SAG contract actually expired last June 30th, and they could have struck then, in theory, but instead it dragged out through negotiations. And the activist group led by Ellen Rosenberg, who's president of the union, was forced out. And a more moderate group came in, and that group has now made a deal with the producers that's pretty much the same thing that the Directors Guild, the Writers Guild, the crafts workers, and so forth all have already accepted. And the big question was new media. And they've accepted the terms on new media, which a lot of people would argue with for good reason, but at a time of national recession, of global economic crisis, it was clear that the deal wasn't going to get any better. And so finally the new moderate leadership has made a deal and will soon bring it to the board, and it's expected to be easily ratified by a majority vote by the 120,000 members of the Screen Actors Guild all over the United States.
Well, good news, and congratulations to SAG and getting that out of the way. Staying with the movie business for a moment, I understand box office records have been broken of recent times, and I saw a piece on the news a few weeks ago where Americans are turning to alternative ways of being entertained during this recession. What can you tell us about it, Alex?
Well, I guess those people who used to get in the airplane and fly away or driving their car to some resort instead are staying home and going to the movies, because everything else may be down, but the movie business is definitely up by quite a nice healthy margin. Partly driven by some really nice hit movies, some surprises, some expected. But overall, the box office is way up. It's been helped by Slumdog Millionaire, which has now done over $140 million in the U.S. But the hits this year, like Monsters and Aliens, was kind of expected, and that's a huge hit, $150 million in after about 3 weeks. Fast and Furious was expected to be a big hit. One of the surprises was Hannah Montana, the movie, which in its first weekend grossed $41 million, which is about twice what anybody thought it would. Of course, based on the Disney Channel series, and I'm sure both of you guys are regular watchers of Hannah Montana.
Well, I have to say that unfortunately I am, because I have grandkids, so there, yeah.
And Monsters and Aliens, you know, is the latest in the series of 3D movies. That was the big talk recently. They had a convention of movie exhibitors in Las Vegas called Show West, and they were all buzzing about 3D, both about the business side of it, but also about all these big movies coming leading up to Christmas, when James Cameron, who did Titanic, returns with Avatar, which they're now saying the budget may exceed $300 million on this 3D movie that's part real-life people and part computer-generated people. So get ready for Avatar at Christmas, guys.
Well, maybe I'm out of the loop here, but that's a surprise that 3D is still getting buzz and actually having more companies or more productions following that. What's the big deal about 3D movies?
Well, this is the new 3D. You remember back in the 50s, we got 3D and you had a headache from it?
Sure, yeah.
And then in the 80s, they brought it back and nobody cared. The difference now is it's digital, and you can watch it for hours, and not only don't you get headaches, it's actually quite a pleasant experience, and it really enhances certain kinds of movies, space epics or, you know, some kind of animated movies where it's done really well. Disney has had great success with it. Of course, DreamWorks Animation only does their movies in 3D now. And from the point of view of theater owners, they say, well, if this is what it's going to take to keep people coming to the theaters, if this is what they can't get at home, then this is what we're going to offer them. Now, they also charge a nice fat premium for that. I don't know if you've noticed or not. But it's not just your $7, $8, $9 movie ticket. You add on another $3 or $4 because it's a 3D movie. And so it's a very profitable enterprise for them. But it's part of the conversion of American theaters. You know, fairly shortly, there will be no film with sprockets running through projectors in American theaters anymore.
I've been hearing about that, yes.
You know, it's all digital projection. And what you do is, once you have the digital projector, you buy this arm this, with some glass on it and a lens, and you put it in front of it, and then you have the right kind of screen and the right movie, and you got 3D.
Wow.
And so once the digital conversion is done, the 3D conversion follows. And filmmakers are committed to it. Exhibitors see it as a panacea, if not their savior. And there's lots and lots of these 3D movies coming. So the question is, when you have one 3D movie, it's an event. When you got 50 3D movies, mm-hmm. who cares?
Yeah.
Well, and I understand the conversion of movie theaters to digital was stalled due to some financial issues. How far along did they get on that conversion?
Well, what happened is a deal was made with the studios to pay what they call virtual prints. In other words, they currently spend up to a couple of $1,000s making a physical print to send to each movie theater. Once you go digital, that's gone. But somebody had to pay for the digital conversion. Now, the exhibitors say, the movie theater owners say, you know, all the benefit goes to the studios. And so the studios say, well, we don't want to pay either, but we'll pay if we can pay one movie at a time. So now they create this virtual print fee. And what they do is they pay like $1,500 or $1,000 each time they send a movie over the satellite that's shown digitally on its first initial run. And then that money goes to a company that went into the public markets and borrowed $2 billion to pay for the conversion of all those movie theaters all over the United States. The problem is, when the credit crisis happened, they had only done about less than one-third of the theaters so far, and now they can't raise the money to do the rest. And so everything is stalled, including a huge venture involving Regal Theaters and AMC Theaters and Cinemark in Dallas, who are all together doing this under a separate company, this conversion. And they're totally stalled, although they say they hope that by sometime in the summer, the money will free up and we'll be able to get back to converting to digital and bringing in more 3D.
That's Alex Ben Block here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shullings and Brad Forsyth. Back in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read IWantMedia.com? IWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. IWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says IWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy.
Alex Ben Block is the senior columnist for Hollywood Today and the editor-at-large at The Hollywood Reporter. It's Ray Shullings and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Alex, welcome back to the show.
Delighted to be here.
Yeah, and one quick follow-up, and I think you touched on it briefly there on the digital projection for movie theaters. I was going to ask about delivery of film, and I think you mentioned satellite delivery.
Well, they actually deliver the film in two different ways, and that's because of the issue of piracy. In order to make it as secure as possible, initially they delivered not a disc, but an actual new hard drive with each movie.
Wow.
It would then have to be inserted into the computer system. And then each hard drive had to be sealed and returned afterwards. But lately the software has gotten good enough that they're now sending a lot of movies over the satellite, and they're being delivered securely on a scrambled system with high definition. And that really is the future, is delivery over satellite.
Tyler Perry, understand he's breaking records and surprising a lot of people with his new movie. What can you tell us about it, Alex?
It's good to be Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
Medea Goes to Jail may seem like a silly movie to you, but it was a huge box office hit. It's grossed, just in the U.S., and there is no foreign on it yet, a little over $90 million. Which is something like double any of his other seven movies that he's done. As you may know, Tyler Perry's an actor, producer, director, writer, composer, musician, art director, based in Atlanta, where he's built a giant studio complex. And he's pals with Oprah Winfrey and lots of other people, and he makes these series and movies based on his own African-American experience that have become a hit on TNT, where most recently Meet the Browns became the new series that they bought. Now imagine you're a producer in Hollywood and you might get a 6-episode order. Well, Tyler Perry got a 80-episode order, and this is the second one in 3 years of that size. And his stuff, after it plays on TNT, also goes into syndication, plays all over the place. He sends out plays, live stage plays that are very lucrative. He then tapes those and sells the DVD. He sells the DVDs of all his movies. He's got the best licensing and merchandising deal in the history of show business. He gets 50% of the back end. Nobody gets 50%. Tyler Perry gets 50% of the back end on all of the spinoffs and all of the DVDs that he sells, and he's selling them in the millions.
Well, let's shift gears and talk about the small screen, talk about television for a moment. You know, Angela Bromstead took the job at NBC's chief programmer of dramas and comedies this year, the fourth executive to hold that post in 19 months. Now the pressure certainly is going to be on for her to revive the fourth place network. Bromstead's, I guess, big test, Alex, came this earlier this week when NBC premiered two new programs, in particular Parks and Recreation, the sitcom that borrows a page out of The Office, and Southland, the gritty police drama about L.A. I happen to have caught Parks and Recreation, and I don't know if you have had your ear to the ground on how the overnights went with that particular program or Southland.
Well, it started out gangbusters, but in its second outing, Parks and Recreation saw a pretty significant drop. Southland, on the other hand, has barely gotten out of the gate. For the its first week, it got about 11% of the audience in its time period, which is fourth place. NBC has their problems. I guess the good news is they're going to have less hours to program next year because of the Jay Leno deal where he gets to be on at 10 o'clock every night.
Yeah, well, I want to talk to you about Jay Leno, and before we do that, I know Ray and I are big fans of The Office, and in watching, sampling the second week of Parks and Recreation, I found it to be just too close in so many different ways, both character and execution, character development, a few of the characters that were featured on the program, that it made me think that it was just a Me Too version of The Office.
Well, a lot of people have said that, and remember, it does come from the same company as The Office.
Right.
Initially, it was conceived as a spinoff of The Office, although now they say, oh, no, it isn't a spinoff of The Office. But it has the same kind of attitude as The Office, and it has the same kind of humor as The Office. So, you know, a lot of people, I guess, if they like that kind of humor, they want more of it. And some people react like you do, which is, you know, I feel like this is an imitation of something I've already seen.
Yeah, what's that?
So, you know, I think Parks and Recreation got tremendous publicity going in. I mean, you got to give them, you know, A's on the report card for the amount of exposure that show got and how much it was talked about. But, you know, it's up to the show now, and it's, you know, from what I've seen of it, you know, it's like you said, it's The Office, but remember, The Office didn't take off right away either.
True. Yeah,
these kind of shows need a while to develop. They're not easy. It's not like, you know, you just simply get into it. You got to kind of find the attitude.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Pleased to have back with us once again, Alex Ben Block out of Los Angeles, editor-at-large of The Hollywood Reporter and senior columnist for Hollywood Today. We'll be back with more of the show, along with Alex, of course, in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of...
And another segment with Alex Ben Block here on The Advertising Show with Rachel and Brad Forsyth. Welcome back, Alex.
Thank you.
I understand, before we talk about Jay Leno and his move to the 10 o'clock time slot, I understand you were at Warner Brothers earlier this week checking out a new program of theirs?
Right. My sister Paula was in town. She said, my favorite show is The Big Bang Theory. So we got tickets to go to a taping. And it was actually very interesting, very instructional. A half-hour show takes several hours to tape because they redo each scene over and over again and they add laughs and stuff. But, you know, the wonderful thing about The Big Bang Theory, at a time that people think there are no situation comedies that can succeed anymore, this is a successful new situation comedy. And it comes, of course, from Chuck Lorre, who also gives us Two and a Half Men, as well as Bill Prady, who is another veteran sitcom writer. And CBS has another hit with this sort of odd show about a couple of Caltech prodigies in their 20s who live together, and then the sparks that fly when an attractive blonde waitress with wants to be an actress moves in across the way.
Hmm. You know, I understand a Boston affiliate is refusing to carry Leno's move to 10 p.m. Last hour prime time. I'm curious what's going on there. But before, also, wanted to get your take on, will it be an embarrassment to NBC Universal if Leno beats Conan O'Brien at the 10 o'clock time slot?
Well, I suppose it would be mildly embarrassing. I think they'd be happy if he did, because he probably should. Anything on at 10 o'clock should get a higher rating than anything on at 11:30.
Right.
And the issue is also who's watching. Because you actually get an older audience at 11:30, and they're hoping they're going to get a little younger audience at 10 o'clock.
So why isn't the Boston affiliate carrying the show?
Well, first of all, he initially said he wasn't going to carry it.
They changed their mind.
There's a long history of bad feelings with the network over other stuff. He since has rescinded that, and now he said he will carry the show. And so NBC had a really embarrassing situation, and whatever it took to address it behind the scenes, it took them a couple of weeks, but they've now announced that, in fact, that station will carry Leno, and they put out a statement in which the guy who said he didn't want it now says what a great idea it is.
And very ironic, because Leno originally is from the Boston area.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So CBS leads the TV season and has the only big breakout hit. What can you tell us about it, Alex?
Well, The Mentalist is one of the very few new shows that's really clicking. Of course, you know, there's a bunch of shows, American Idol leads them, that in Dancing with the Stars, which are consistent hits, but it's very hard to get anything new to work. And so CBS has it with The Mentalist, but CBS is in pretty good shape anyway. This is a network that has a whole bunch of hits with the CSI and a number of other shows, and they're going gangbusters over there.
And of course, America's favorite, American Idol, I understand, is still on top, but to many surprise, not doing as well as last year.
Yeah, they're off by almost 7% in terms of the size of the audience from a year ago. They're still dominant, number one, way above number two in the rest of the pack. We're talking about they might get like a 13 rating, and the next guy will get like a 7, and then everybody else will have less than 4. So they're still out there, but you got to wonder as the show erodes a little bit. And they tried a lot of different new things this year, most notably adding a fourth judge. And now they're running into the problem of the fourth judge. Some people just don't like the fourth judge, don't like having the fourth judge, and it's making the show too long, they say, and they're running over. So they've been playing with that format now, also trying two judges paired up. And then OK Magazine in a cover story has just reported that there's an effort to try and push Kara out, the fourth judge, and go back to three judges, and that Paula, who was going to leave, no longer wants to leave, now she wants to stay. So the soap opera and the drama that is American Idol, the show that's going to be in the history books, is one of the great successes in the history of the world, not just in the U.S., it's also in 41 other versions that play in 100 other countries. And it is a licensing phenomena in the music business, clothing, all kinds of stuff, video games. It's spun off a whole bunch of other side shows on the Fox Reality Channel, on the TV Guide Network. So there's a lot of money at stake here, and I assure you they're all going to keep going, but I'd love to be Simon Cowell and be negotiating my new contract in about 6 months from now.
I think they call that a franchise.
Yeah, I think they call that open up the Brinks truck and let me in.
This is always always a pleasure to have you here, Alex. Thanks for joining us today.
All right. Good luck, guys.
Thanks.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth back in just a minute with more.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look exciting.
Having an interview with Alex is kind of like going to the buffet.
This man dared to use.
You get a little bit of everything.
And it's all you can eat.
And it's all you can eat. And I'm sleepy now. No.
Not sleepy.
That's what, no, love Alex, don't love buffets, okay? So that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But it's always a pleasure to talk with Alex. Norm Brodsky is up next week on The Advertising Show. Norm is the co-author of a book called The Knack. Not the band, The Knack. Comes with its own Swiss Army knife, as I recall, on the cover. Is that right?
That's an old LP, as they say. LP.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. That'll be next week on The Advertising Show. A little bit here in just a few moments. We'll check in with Gene Bliss, our customer experience. Customer peace of mind is what we're talking about today. And I had something here, made me think of you, Brad. From brandweek.com, it says here, adult incontinence is one of the topics that's not widely discussed in ads, but that's changing, Brad.
It depends.
Due to recent marketing efforts of Kimberly Clark, they make diapers too, and competitor Tena, T-E-N-A, it says. Yeah. I never heard of it. Of course,
are you
I'm
sure
aware.
That T is a P or a P?
No, maybe? It says T-E-N-A, which bring the category to light through new product introductions. Mm-hmm. It's ads launched by Kimberly Clark this month by J. Walter Thompson out of New York. Men and women are shown sharing their viewpoints for life. For instance, they're asked to address questions like, who are better drivers, men or women? The point of the ads is to show that men and women are different and therefore they have different needs. I think we figured that out already when it comes to adult incontinence, okay? The campaign supports the launch of KC's new gender-specific male and female underwear.
You have to be gender-specific on that. You know, I always thought incontinence meant that you were just traveling in the North American area and not going outside of North America.
It also means that, yeah, it does.
Incontinent.
I can't get over, every time I see something like this, the Saturday Night Live spot where, oops, I crap my pants.
Yeah.
It's great. But anyway, you know, hats off to Kimberly Clark. I wonder if they come in briefs or boxers.
Well, you know what they
probably
say.
Briefs.
You know, you can't wait to get out of diapers and start dating and get into college. And
what
before you
it?
Know it, your career is over and you're back in a pair.
What's that all about?
You're back into diapers.
Gene Bliss has the answer. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
While buying books over the internet is old hat to us now, when Amazon was introduced to us, our lives changed. Amazon.com sold its first book in July of 1995. That experience earned them the right to add a music store in 1997, consumer electronics and toys and games in 1999. And since then, Amazon's addition of nearly every category has been met with customer acceptance. A kitchen store, camera and photo store, office products, apparel, sporting goods, gourmet foods, even health and personal care and high-end jewelry. Now, if Amazon had not executed the delivery of books well during their foundational years, 1995 to 1998, their expansion into these other lines could never have occurred. They earned the right to expanded customer relationships with books. In 2009, make the basic interactions you have with customers reliable. Create peace of mind in how they order from you, in who they talk to, and in what they receive. Focusing on the blocking and tackling, amazingly, will set you apart.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Thanks, as always, Gene Bliss on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. What do you have there?
Well, you know, we talk about newspapers struggling, but yet, you know, one of the more highly circulated, I guess I should say, and certainly more popular, what would be considered a national newspaper, Gannett's USA Today, is launching Open Road, an online automotive community for discussing and informing car enthusiasts. Now, Open Road, Ray, will not report auto news, but will discuss it. So it's creating community, I suppose. The site is the latest addition to an expanding roster of USA Today online communities. So there's an example of an old media model, taking it up online and doing it in a way that converts their content, simply does not convert their content to an online platform, but looking at what happens online, in this case, community, and realizing that, you know, instead of just reporting auto news, let's create a community online and be the vehicle, no pun intended, that provides the quote-unquote open road for online discussion. So it's, it shows some innovation, I think, on USA Today's part.
Yeah, and you, when you say old, I recall when they first came out with that paper.
Yeah.
Well, the big I was working for Gannett at the time.
And the big deal was color, using color.
Oh, it was a great paper. And, it is a great paper.
Yeah, and a color map for the weather, which is not used before. And then the other controversy was advertising in the front page, which now, by the way, New York Times and other staid publications that would have never done such things are finding themselves doing, hopefully not too late.
That's a story to be told.
Sometime in the future.
Yeah, hopefully not too late.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, good for Gannett. I like the fact that they're thinking like
that. Doesn't surprise me. They're an innovative company.
No, they've always been cutting edge. And maybe that's the fact that they birthed themselves back in the 70s. Way back in the 70s, Brad, you know, maybe says something about the fact that they have the ability to understand what the future holds for them.
Well, you know, they said those are the articles aren't long enough, they're too short, they're not in depth, and then before you know it, the other newspapers followed USA Today's lead editorially, along with cosmetically and a lot of other production things that were introduced by USA Today.
What a concept.
Yeah.
Recently, Clear Channel came out with an article, I think it was. It says, Clear Channel program directors are to comprehend how something basic in broadcasting works. And it's like, no kidding.
The program directors are?
The program directors, yeah. It's like, yeah, they probably should be doing that. It was something, I can't recall the headline. I don't have it in front of me. But it was, I looked at it and I thought to myself, well, first of all, why would you publish something as stupid as this? And why didn't you guys know this to begin with?
Well, I mean, let's give our listeners some insight. You would know the answer to this, Ray. Do program directors on a local level have much influence over what gets played anyway? And aren't they pretty much cookie-cutter formats nowadays?
No, they are charged with their, well, not a playlist. You know, that's all researched, and it always has been for the past, 20, 30 years or so. Or 30, 40
They're
years,
not choosing to break music or introduce music.
No, but
there
is influential. But what the concept is they're influential in the development of the personalities and how
not the music, but the people.
The voice track people. But that those voice tracks got to be good.
Okay? Yeah.
Got to be sound real. It's. I hope you enjoyed the show today. Hey, Norm Brodsky next week, co-author of The Next, and tell a friend about The Advertising Show. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. AdvertisingShow.com. It's been a pleasure. Hope you enjoyed it as well. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.